One of the things I failed to mention is one of our people on our prayer list is Annalyn Wisely. Annalyn was back in the hospital, back in Riley Hospital this week because the incision was seeping. And so they had to go in and do some more work on that, and she is now home. But I also wanted to share that her grandfather is here, John King. Some of you remember John from years and years ago. He's fought a lot of health issues. His wife, Nancy, passed away within the past year. And so, John, it's good to have you with us today, too. So thanks for coming. If you have a Bible and you would like to turn to James chapter 3, if you looked and if you happen to remember, I had originally titled this, Put the Fire Out. But I decided this week to change it to an open and shut case because many of us do struggle with our tongues. And to deal with this, we're going to have to deal with it with wisdom, which is actually next week's sermon. So it's kind of like a part one and part two without calling it that. So I'd like to begin reading with verse 1 of chapter 3. And out of all the chapters, especially in James, this might be the most familiar because we're talking about the tongue being an unruly fire. So let's start with verse 1 and read to verse 12, please. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for we could control our tongues. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Let's pray as we ask God's blessing on his word. And Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for those parts that are easy to read and make us feel good, but we also know that there are those hard-hitting parts like this that make us stop up short, make us investigate ourselves. And so I pray that as we study this passage today, you'll help us to realize we should not be pointing the finger at anybody, but only ourselves. Help us to see what James is trying to teach us and how we do need to control the things that we say. So as we study, would you please open our hearts and open our ears and open your word up to our understanding. And then I pray, Lord, that we will not just hear, but we will apply. And help us to be able to take these words that James has given to us and just not only just to apply them, but to live them and to show people that you control us. And Lord, I pray that as I bring the message this morning, that Jesus will be praised and honored and glorified. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. Communication with other people is an essential in life. I'm sure we've all been in situations where we were unable to communicate with another person. For example, go to a Chinese restaurant. I don't understand a word they're saying, except I know they're talking about me, you know? And then Spanish. I took 3 years of Spanish in high school, which was way back in the 60s. I know a few words, but when they start the rapid fire Spanish, I'm going, you know, my head's spinning. I just cannot understand a word of what they're saying. And then I once knew a decent amount of sign language, but the use it or lose it philosophy applies to me. The tongue has been described as the muscle in the body that receives more exercise and less control than any other muscle. Medically, it is a 2-ounce slab of muscle, mucous membrane, and nerves that enable us to taste, to swallow, to chew, and of course to talk. Or we could simply say the tongue is a 2-ounce beast that at times is unable to control. So the tongue is so important to communication, but as we all know, it can be used for good or it can be used for bad. Our goal as followers of Christ is to honor and glorify Him in all things and at all times. And one of the biggest ways is when we slip up by what we say. I am not a poster boy, by the way, for having complete control of my words. I know that I have said hurtful words in situations, I have hurt people badly. So as I preach this morning, please understand that what I say, I am looking in a mirror in the morning and in the evening. But that doesn't stop us from taking a look at this passage that James minces no words with. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to take us into this passage to show us how to use our tongue wisely. Okay, so let's begin by, first of all, talking about how our tongue is small but powerful. I want to tell you a story first. In 1899, four newsmen met at a railway depot in Denver, Colorado. They were all newsmen from the four papers in the Denver, Colorado area. And they were looking for a story for the next day. Unfortunately, there was no story, so no news was bad news. So one of them decided or made up the suggestion that they just kind of make up a story. Well, they laughed at it, and then someone said, well, let's go to the Oxford Hotel and have some beers. There's a common thread here, okay? Let's go and have some beers. And they all decided, okay, we'll do that. So they couldn't do something local because it was easily to be investigated. So they started thinking, what can we do globally? So they decided to take on China. And the idea was born that the Chinese government was going to tear down the Great Wall of China. And a group of American engineers were at that moment in Denver ready to fly to China to put in a bid to have it done. Drink some more beers. They needed a reason, so they made up the reason that the Chinese wanted to welcome trade. And they wanted to be good neighbors. And so they were willing to tear down the wall of China for the purpose of having goodwill and opening up to trade. Another round of beers. By 11 o'clock that evening, they had the story. The next morning, every one of the Denver newspapers had this as their headline, Great Chinese Wall Doomed, Peking Seeks World Trade. It was, of course, a totally ludicrous story, fabricated by four newsmen who had a little too much to drink, had a little too much time on their hands, and had absolutely no scruples. The ensuing havoc that occurred became known as the Boxer Rebellion, where thousands of missionaries were slaughtered, and 12,000 troops from 6 different countries joined forces to protect their own countrymen. Now, I don't know about you, but that's quite a story. And it's all fabricated, but it happens a lot. Maybe not on that grand scale, but it does happen a lot. but it shows the power of the word, the power of the tongue. Nations have risen and fallen by words. So I want to begin by saying this, whether we want to hear this or not, if we want to reach God's goal for us as Christ followers, we must control our tongue. James said it well in verse 2. So if you want to read that with me, indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we can control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. Now, the word perfect there does not mean sinless. All along through James, we've been talking about the word perfect means mature. So if we want to mature in our faith, or we want to show maturity in our faith, he says we need to get control of our tongues. We all make mistakes. James says that, right? We all have a problem that can become a serious problem if we don't get it under control. But so many of us struggle with our tongues. And it's so hard to do that because we haven't dealt with the root of the problem. This verse tells us that if we ever get our mouths right, we'll get everything else right. Why? Because the tongue has the power to control a person's life. The ability to control our tongues helps us control other things around us. Now, James gives two illustrations for this, and I want to take you to those illustrations. The first one he uses is about a large horse will go wherever he wants by means of a small bit in his mouth. Now, we have a young lady, 13-year-old young lady, Katie Beckwith, and I got permission to share this, maybe embarrass her, but anyway, I got permission to share this by her parents. But Acadia will be going in July, will be going to Georgia to compete in a National Barrel Horse Association final. Katie is not a big person, but she can control a 1,000-pound horse. You know how? Not because you can tell him what to do, but because he has a bit and a bridle, and she has the reins. And that's what James is saying. We can control a horse with just this little bit in his mouth. And that's what we need to do with our tongues. But James also gives another illustration. That is using the rudder of a boat, being able to steer a boat wherever we want it to go. A little rudder controlling a huge vessel. And that's why it's so important, folks, to bring our mouths under control. For example, if you stop complaining and start saying, God, I'm going to trust you, your whole perspective is going to change. Problems don't seem so overwhelming then, and tasks don't seem so daunting. So before we close this out, let me give you two thoughts of what James says about the tongue. Number one, he says the tongue is small but powerful. I've already given you that it's basically a 2-ounce slab of muscle. To go back to James' words, a bit controls a horse, a rudder controls a ship, and the tongue controls us. Jesus said this, and if you have a Bible, if you go back to Matthew 15 with me, the scripture's up there, Matthew 15, 10 through 11, and then 17 to 19. Matthew 15, this is what Jesus said. Don't take my word for it. Beginning in verse 10, he says, then Jesus called to the crowd to come to him. Listen, he said, and try to understand. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. And then he goes down to verse 17. And 16 says, don't you understand yet? Anything you eat passes through the stomach and goes into the sewer. But the words that you speak from the heart, that's what defiles you. From the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you. Eating with unwashed hands will never defile you. And Jesus was talking about the legalistic religious Pharisees who were saying, you have to have your hands washed just right. Jesus was saying, that's not what's important. Or James was saying, that's not what Jesus was saying, that's not what's important. What's important is what's in here. Because what's in here will come out here. So the tongue is small but powerful. The second lesson he teaches us, the tongue is necessary but dangerous. In verse 6, James minces no words. He said, and among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It's a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. He calls the tongue a flame of fire, a whole world full of wickedness. Well, what does that mean? He seems to be saying that the whole world of evil finds its root in here, and then it comes out here. Things like pride, things like anger, things like bitterness, things like lust. The tongue communicates them all. James uses an interesting word here. You see the word hell there? There are two words for hell. One of them is Hades, which is what we usually think of it. The word he uses here is the word Gehenna. Now, to understand this, in Jerusalem, they had outside the city, they had a garbage dump. It was called Gehenna. And it would be like our garbage dump today, taking all our garbage to one place and dumping it. And that's what James is saying, is that when we don't control our tongues, our hearts are like garbage dumps. And if we don't get control of the garbage dump, it's coming out here. I don't know about you, but those are pretty strong words. And he's saying all the filth that's in there will eventually come out. Okay, so let's move on. Let's talk about that which is helpful but inconsistent. And the tongue is helpful but inconsistent. The tongue is a dangerous beast. Now, remember this word, please, sometimes. Let me show you how it works. The tongue is a dangerous and powerful beast, but sometimes it mends bones instead of breaking them. Sometimes it builds people up instead of tearing them down. Sometimes it brings life instead of death. And that's the thought behind the words that James puts in verses 9 and 10. He says, sometimes it praises our Lord and Father. Sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. There was an old saying the Indians used to use, he speaks with forked tongue. Basically saying he speaks with both sides of his mouth. Let's see how this works. We go to church, we sing, we smile, we say amen, we say praise the Lord, then we walk out to the church parking lot and we immediately start putting someone down. Or, horror of horrors, you say the sermon was terrible. Or we stare someone down because they cut us off. As parents, as fathers and mothers, we are sometimes barely out of the parking lot when we are criticizing or putting down our spouse or our children or someone else. So let me ask you, what is the child hearing? But here's the thing. Didn't we just praise God? Didn't we just say amen? Didn't we just say praise the Lord? And yet here we are, we're going out of here, and we're doing the exact opposite. Verse 9 says, sometimes our tongues praise our Lord and his Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in his image. When we are cursing people who have been made in the image of God, we are cursing the one who made them. Chuck Swindoll tells a story about a rather large family that got together for breakfast every morning. And every morning the father would pray and he would thank God for blessing their family. He would thank him for the food. He would thank God for just for everything that they have. But as soon as he was done praying, he began to complain about the hard times. He began to complain about the food and the way it was cooked and began to complain about the family. And one time one of the little girls says, "Father, do you suppose that God heard what you said a little while ago?" And of course, the father was saying, "Yes, sure he hears what I said." And she said, "Did he hear what you just said about the food and the coffee?" And the father wasn't so confident as before. And then the little girl said this, "Then, Father, which one did God hear? Which one did God hear?" Well, the truth is, he heard them both. But then James shows us that human nature and the human heart is like nothing in nature. Look at what he does in verse 11. "Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water?" Fortunately, I'm almost done. "Does a fig tree," produce olives, or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. So here's how this works. An apple tree doesn't produce poison mushrooms, correct? In fact, let's go a little bit further. An apple tree doesn't produce oranges. An apple tree doesn't produce anything but apples. It doesn't give you oranges. It doesn't give you peaches. It doesn't give you strawberries. It gives you apples. James is simply saying that our tongues need to produce good fruit, not bad fruit. You know, as parents, we need to watch out what we say, but we also need to be careful what's coming out of the mouth of our children. Joe and I have spent a good part of the summer down at the ball field. We have thoroughly enjoyed it. It's been hot as fire, but we have enjoyed it. But there was one time that I was walking to get her something from the concession stand, and there were some kids over here playing. And I heard, "Oh my God," at least five times, rapid fire. "Oh my God, oh my God." And it took me back to my childhood. Because you see, I said that one time in my mother's presence. My mother grabbed me by my shoulders. She said, "Bill, you have just taken God's name in vain." Scared the heebie-jeebies out of me, literally. And I can honestly tell you that I have never used that since. Now, I've used other words. Even on my worst days, when I was growing up especially, and when I used words that are unprintable, I never used that again. Because my mother drilled it in me that I was using God's name in vain. Jesus knew. In fact, if you go back to Matthew 12:34, he said, "For whatever is in your heart determines what you say." The person who uses profanity or indulges in destructive criticism or gossip doesn't do so because someone else provoked it. They do it because that's what's in their heart. That's the sad part. Because we like to point our fingers at somebody else, or we even rationalize by saying, "Oh, that's not as bad as adultery. That's not as bad as so-and-so." But we're gossips. Or we're criticizers. According to the scriptures, they all come from the heart, which is not good. So let me close this out by giving you three things that we need to do. Can you turn me up just a little bit, Allie, please? Three things that we need to do. Number one, we need to cauterize our lips. Now let me show you a scripture where that is done. Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah, and while you're turning there, I'll just give you the background. Isaiah is finding himself in the temple in the presence of God. He is so overwhelmed by the holiness of God that he is, in verse 5, he says, "It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips, yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." So Isaiah realized his lips were unclean. That's what that means. And he was ready to just chuck it all and say, "I'm done." But watch what happens. "Then one of the seraphim, which was an angel, flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips and he said, 'See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven.'" That's why I said we need to cauterize our lips. We need to have God's fiery tongs hit our lips and fire them. We need to be cleansed of the things that we say and the things that we pass on. The second thing we need to do is we need to pray continually for control. This issue, folks, will not go away. You know yourself, at least I do, that one time I can win the battle and then 2 hours later, maybe less than that, I've lost it. It's a constant battle for control. It's going to take vigilance, and it's going to take a constant awareness. One lady who was known for her vicious gossip and destructive criticism came to her pastor one Sunday morning and said, "Pastor, today I want to lay my tongue on the altar." That's kind of a words of saying, "I want to surrender my tongue." And he looked at her and said, "Madam, our altar's not big enough. It's only 15 feet long." Her vicious gossip and her destructive criticism had ruined so many lives. It was going to take more than just one time. And finally, we need to discipline ourselves regarding the use of our tongue. We need to become more aware of our penchant for criticizing, for gossiping, for belittling, for demeaning other people, for lying, for boasting. We need to become more aware of that. And when we become more aware of that, then we need to discipline ourselves regarding the use of our tongue. So, let me close with this. We need to weigh our words. And you can see that Joe put a picture up there with the Bible and a scale. We need to weigh our words and what we say. We need to take them to God's word and say, "Is this a good word?" We need to take our gossip. We need to take our criticism. We need to take our belittling and our demeaning and all of that. And we need to take it to God and say, "Cleanse me and make me new. Purify my lips and cauterize them." And then we'll have an open and shut case, where we'll open our mouth and decide maybe it's better to keep it shut. That's my challenge for you this week. We're going to look next week at the rest of the third chapter of James. We're talking about wisdom, where it comes from, what it's all about. And so it's going to be like part two of this, because when we learn wisdom, we'll learn how to control our tongues. So I want to challenge you this week, this is your challenge, to be aware of what you say. Before you speak it, think it. Before you speak it, ask yourself, does this build up or does this tear down? Does this help or does this hurt? And if it doesn't help, if it doesn't build up, maybe it's better not to say it at all. Let's pray together. And Father, I thank you that you have given us your word, and sometimes it's not easy to hear. I thank you for James's honesty, his pointedness. I thank you for this third chapter that convicts me of what's in my heart, because what's in my heart is what's going to come out on my lips. I pray that you'll help each one of us to focus on having pure hearts, on having our lips cauterized, of being in the presence and the holiness of God and say, God, cleanse me and cleanse my heart and cleanse my lips. And help us, Father, to simply trust you. Help us to pray for help and help us to discipline ourselves so that we don't say the things we don't need to say. Go with us this week. Please help us to be aware. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing scripture is from Hebrews chapter 13. Let's say it together. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. And I say amen to that. Have a good week. Thanks, folks.